your people. God, that would penetrate to their hearts, God, that would better their lives, God, that they may better themselves and the lives of those around them. God, I ask that you would open their ears and their hearts, God, to the hearing of your Spirit, Father, as you speak through me today. God, that your fruit would go out and, Father, be planted and grow and mature, Lord God. Father, we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Pastor Kelly's gone today. He has a grandchild being dedicated down in Clarkston today. So he will be back next week. You don't have to put up with me 2 Sundays in a row. Yay, we have one guy excited. Scott is excited. All right. I've been the backcountry guiding hunt, so I've been missing out a little bit. Been missing you guys. Prior to that, I was up in Reuben's ministering at their church. It's good to be back here at the Life Center. It's almost like coming home. We're in the series called Thrive right now. Do you guys know how to thrive? Mostly. Mostly. Most days I think I know how to thrive. Some days I just know how to survive. There's a difference there. As I was in the mountains last week, I was preparing for my sermon, thinking about it, guiding an elk hunter in the high mountain country that used to be wonderful elk habitat. Actually, it still is. They just don't thrive there like they once used to. I began thinking, what is habitat? What does it take for an elk to be able to thrive? I said, well, they need food, they need water, they need shelter, and they need space. 4 main components. For us to thrive, for animals to thrive, and of course, everything I think in the physical realm, I also convey back to the spiritual realm, and I begin processing what does it take in our spiritual lives for us to thrive. And as I looked across the mountains, I'm going, okay, there's food everywhere for elk. The brush is taller than me in most every place you look. Lots of good elk food. The water is flowing all over the mountain, even before we started getting the rain. We started the hunt in the drought. It was smoky and nasty, and you're because I've been smoking for like 2.5 months since the fire started, so I had a little smoker's hat going. Thank God that's over. But I'm going, okay, the food's here, the water's here, there's great stands of mature timber, they have plenty of shelter. As I look across the mountain, you don't see many critters anymore, so there's plenty of space. What's the problem? What's going on? Of course, having been a guide for many years, I know what the problem is. It's predation. Even prior to the wolves, we had a predation problem with the lions and the bears. But when you have a little predation problem and you add more predators, what do you have? A greater predation problem. I started thinking, you know, God has laid out so perfectly for us as humans to thrive and survive physically, for animals to thrive and survive physically. But in our spiritual lives as well, he has laid it out so perfectly. Why aren't we thriving? Why aren't we living life to the full, as we're going to read here in John 10:10? If you want to get your word out today, the living word of God, as I like to think of it, it is alive, it's effective. John 10:10, this is kind of our key verse for the Thrive series. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come, this is Jesus speaking, that they may have life and have it to the full. So we have two parts identified. Christ has come that we may thrive, that we may live life to the full, that we may live life abundantly, that we may have abundant joy, abundant happiness, abundant peace. But it also identifies a thief or a predator of our souls, which is Satan or the devil or whatever other name you put upon him. The enemy of our souls. Today he's the predator. Jesus warns us very clearly, there is a predator of your soul. There is someone seeking to kill, steal, and destroy you. And he doesn't just come by once in a while and attack you. He looks for every opportunity in each and every day, in each and every situation, how he may steal what is God's and make it his. We must be on the lookout. We must be on guard. But Jesus says, I've made a way. You may have life to the full. You may have life everlasting. You may have an abundant life. You may have joy and peace and happiness if you abide in me, Christ Jesus. So what keeps us from doing that? What stops us from thriving? Does anyone here thrive every day? It's absolutely, undoubtedly. My hand's not up. I'm just... There, I'll put it down, okay? I certainly don't thrive every day. And as I was sitting on the mountain, I had lots of time to sit and think. That's one good thing about being out there. The phone's not ringing. You don't have emails to check. I began looking over my life and thinking, wow, look at all the places I've allowed the enemy into my life in my past. And it didn't come, he didn't just slap a gun in my hand and I went out and shot somebody. I haven't murdered anyone. But it was always just a little piece at a time. I remember back in 95 when the wolves were first introduced, early, maybe 96, 97, I started seeing posters around the mountains that the Fish and Game would put up. Have you seen this track? Have you seen this animal in the woods? Please report any sightings. I remember laughing like, yeah, right. They're not going to live here. We're not going to have wolves. They're not going to be a problem. Of course, I was a young, ignorant, dumb teenager at that time. How many times do we do that in our own lives? The Word of God gives us guidance, gives us direction, gives us counsel of things we should avoid. And we just look, you know, it's not that big a deal. It's not going to get a hold in my life. It's not going to become part of who I am. And it's just a movie. It's just one time. It's just one weekend a year I go out with my friends and it's just a white lie. It's just, boy, if I tell the truth this time, I'll be in a lot of trouble. I mean, I'm not a liar. I just have to lie this time. The enemy doesn't come in all at once, bam. He begins to pick and tear, piece by piece, get into our lives if we will allow him. We don't have to allow him because Christ Jesus lives in us. We don't have to let him in. But sometimes through our choices, through our actions, we allow him to come in. We allow him to be part of our lives and direct our future. And the longer we allow him, the bigger the problem becomes. Until now, we have issues in our lives. The elk camp I was in last week, there's two of us guiding. 6 days of hunting, multiplied by two is 12. We saw one elk. He was thriving. He was doing great. He was a good mature bull. He's doing well on the mountain. He had lots of food and water, shelter, plenty of space. But how many of us are thriving? We don't want to be picked off until we're just, I'm thriving, I'm okay. We have to bind together as the body of Christ. That's why I love having Brooke come over and lead worship for us this morning. It's awesome. She did great, didn't she? Yes. Thank you. I love seeing the body of Christ become cohesive, blending ministries, because that's what the kingdom is all about. It's not about the Life Center. It's not about a Pentecostal church. It's about the kingdom work of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That's what it's about. As we bind together, we preserve our lives. We're looking out for one another. We're each other's safeguards. We say, hey, you know, I've been noticing this in your life. Is anything going on? Do you need help with something? Do you need prayer? Can I meet with you? Or it allows us to have an open door to go to someone and say, hey, I've opened this door in my life. I've allowed Satan to come in. I've allowed sin into my life. Will you pray with me? Will you hold me accountable? Because I want to thrive in Christ. Christ says in the Word of God that I can have life to the full, and that's what I want. I don't want to be drugged down and just trying to get through every day, trying to survive, trying to make it. There are some islands in New Zealand that have zero predators. The game thrives. They're overrun with game. In our lives, we should be an island unto Christ. There should be no room for predators. No room for the work of the devil in our lives, that we may thrive and survive and produce what he's called us to. We're going to look in the Word of God in Psalms chapter 46. God telling us he is our shelter. Or rather, David calling God his shelter. However you want to look at it. Psalms chapter 46, verses 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. Though the world is falling down around us, though all is being destroyed and lost, if you keep up with the news, I don't. But what I hear from other people as guests are coming and going, they're all, I don't know what to do with my money. I don't know if I should put it in this account or that account or this stock or that stock. I'm not sure of the world market. I don't care. My God is in control of my life. I don't pay attention to the news much. But if you begin to look at that, the world around us is crumbling. It's falling. America's probably at its weakest point it's ever been. We have the presidential election coming up, and people would say, well, if Obama gets in, the world or the America's going to fail. And people would say, if Romney gets in, it's going to fail. If you begin listening to those things, the world around you begins to come down and crash. But if you look at what the Word of God says, it says in verse 1 there, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Ever-present help in trouble. Are you in trouble? Because you have an ever-present help that is your God, Almighty. He is your Lord and Savior. No matter what trouble you're going through, God's there to step in. Rest yourself in the protection of the Lord God Almighty. Rest yourself in His arms. There's lots of other passages where God says, I like where He says, I am. And then you get to fill in the blank. What do you need today from God? In your life right now, what do you need from God? Because He is the I am. Fill it in. What do you need? Fill it in right now. Say, God, this is what I need from You. You are my comforter. My strength, my refuge, my strong tower, my joy, my deliverer, my Savior. What do you need? Because God is your I am. No matter what the world looks like around us, spiritually our shelter is our God. We're going to look at the food, John chapter 6. The Word talks about being our spiritual food. John chapter 6, verse 35. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never go thirsty. Jesus Christ is the bread of our life. He is our rock, our foundation in whom we trust. Do you guys feed on the bread? John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. the Word, Jesus Christ, the bread of life, or the Word of God. This is your food every day. Do you chew on it? Do you feed on it? How many of you have eaten today? How many of you have eaten spiritually today? You should eat every day of the bread of life. You need food to thrive. I don't know how many times in my life I've got up, read my devotion in the morning, read the Bible in the morning, and somewhere during my day, somebody will ask a question, and I'll be like, I just read that this morning. I can help you. It's not every day, but it's often enough, and it's been a blessing enough to lives of those around me that it keeps me doing it every day, because sooner or later, someday, what God has placed in me that morning is going to help somebody out that day. Maybe for their future. Maybe for their destiny. For some, I believe it was a destiny change from hell to heaven. I believe it was that pivotal in their lives. At least from what they told me. Your devotional, your daily Bible reading, your taking in of the bread of the Word is not always for you. Sometimes you're just packing a crumb around to give to someone else. But if it's not in here, it can't be given out here. Amen? Feed on the Word of God every day. John chapter 7. Just skip over a page. Maybe two in some of y'all's Bible. Verse 37 and 38. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." What do you thirst for in your life? What do you thirst after? Jesus is calling to us saying, "I am the water." Some other scriptures relate the water to the Holy Spirit. Come and drink in deep of the Spirit of God. Jesus Christ is your bread of life. The Holy Spirit is your water. This is sounding like a pretty good habitat, isn't it? We got God protecting us. Let's see what kind of space He gives us to dwell in. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Of course, most of us know this is the Great Commission, but I believe this is the space that God has given us to operate in, to grow in, to develop into. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Amen. That's a pretty big space, isn't it? To me, I heard all nations. Has anyone here been to all the nations yet? Okay, y'all still have room to grow then. Okay, you have lots of space to operate in. Has anyone here obtained all authority and power given to Jesus Christ through Him? Anyone? No one? Okay, we still have some room to grow then. Because Christ gives to us what the Father has given to Him. All power and authority. And at the end, it says, to the very end of the age. Has anyone got to the end of the age yet? So these are pretty big parameters that we have to operate in. We have plenty of space to grow and develop in Christ and use the gifts and the anointings that He's placed into our lives. Some of us have not even stepped into the space. We're still sitting at the edge and we're intimidated by it. What space might God ask me to go to? What direction might he ask me to go once I get into the space? These guests we had in the mountains were from the New York-Pennsylvania border. And their biggest mountain is about twice as tall as this building. Not quite as steep as the walls. But in our email correspondence before the hunt, the one guy sent an email to me and says, "Can't wait to get out there and glass those beautiful hills." I sent back one correction in your email. These aren't hills, these are mountains. And he sent back, "Oh, okay." So we step out of the lodge the first morning they're here to go sight in the rifles. He looks up and says, "Well, these are quite a bit bigger mountains than I imagined, but we'll make do." I said, "These are the foothills that lead to the mountains." He goes, "Yeah, right." Because he'd never seen anything like these hills. And they just blew his mind how big and steep they were. I said, "Really, these are like Candyland compared to our mountains." So we get up to the trailhead, put him on a horse. After about 3 hours of riding a horse and going uphill the whole entire time, he just goes, "Wow, you weren't joking." And by the time we got to camp, both of the guys were in such awe of the landscape of the mountains. They said, "You know what? We could turn around and go home right now. The trip has been worth it." That's the kind of experience God has in store for you and I. If we'll just step into what he has for us, if we'll get out of our box and get into that space, if we'll get out of our comfort zone and get into the space that God has given to us, because along with all that space, all the nations, until the end of the age, comes all authority in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The power is in the name of Jesus, not in us. Not of who we know or what we know, unless it is Jesus Christ and the salvation he brings. But God has that kind of experience waiting for you and I. We just have to get out there and say, "Yes, Lord, I'm going to do it. Yes, Lord, I'm ready to thrive in you. Yes, Lord, I'm ready to move forward into what you would have for me to do." Are you guys ready to do that? You ready to thrive? Ready to survive? Well, I got news for you. There's a power from hell roaming this earth that's going to do everything to make sure you don't. There's an enemy of your soul, and he will attack you. He will come against you. He will try to place strongholds on your life. But you know what? We don't have to succumb to him or his pressure or his lies. Because Jesus Christ has given us the power to overcome, to be more than conquerors in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We're going to look at the predator here in Ephesians. Or at least what the Word of God says about the predator. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. This whole chapter is a good one. You should read the whole thing. But really, this whole book is a good book to read. You should read the whole thing. It's hard to stop at one good point. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. "But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving." What should be coming out of our mouths? Thanksgiving. Not even a hint. In the beginning, I believe they released 15 breeding pairs of wolves between the tri-state area. A very small, minute number, something like that. That's just a hint of wolf population. The devil would place into your lives just a hint of something not right. Just a taste of something not right. About the second day of this hunt, might have been the first full day, my hunter and I are sitting on the hill glassing, and he looks over and he goes, "You must be a religious man." I said, "Well, why do you say that?" He goes, "I haven't heard you swear yet." And he was telling some pretty horrible jokes. And I wasn't laughing at his jokes either. I said, "Well, yeah, I go to church once in a while." He starts quizzing me and asking, and finally I say, "Yeah, I'm a pastor, actually." And he says, "I better clean up my language." He did. He cleaned it up pretty good. He quit telling most of his jokes. But just because my actions were different to him, because I wasn't letting a hint of that into my life, which, don't think I'm perfect, I used to let a lot more than a hint in. Being a pastor doesn't make you perfect. It makes you called of God and obeying the call. That's all I've done. If you get the Sink or Swim book, you can read all about me. If you're new here today, we have a book for you. It is Sink or Swim. Take one home, read it. You'll learn about 6 or 7 of us here in the congregation, where we've been in life, what God's brought us through, and where He's brought us today. Just letting your life thrive every day, people around you begin to notice. People around you begin to understand. There's something different about that person. And they have something I don't in my life. I've got a hole and a void, and they look like it's all filled up. Sometimes people put pastors on a pedestal and, "Oh, well, they're perfect and they can't do anything wrong." And I just hate to bust your pastor bubble, but we can. We're just people too. We're just called of God. And we're saying, "Yes, Lord, whatever you ask of me, I'm going to do. God asked me to be a pastor, I'm going to be a pastor. If He asked me to quit, I'm going to quit. Some days I'm going to quit anyway." God wants us thriving and surviving, life to the fullest. Not being drugged down, not being abused, not being used. God wants you living every day joyously before Him, no matter what you're going through, no matter what's coming your way. Just saying, "God, You are God, and You are good," every day of our lives. So real quick, God is your shelter. He is your strength, your strong tower. Rest in Him. He's your keys to thriving. Jesus Christ, the Word of God, is your food. Take in food daily. Take in lots of it, because there's lots of it to chew on. Number 3, your water source is the Holy Spirit. Drink in deep of the Spirit of God. Allow Him to use you in ways you never imagined, because He'll do it. Sometimes I pray to God and then He does what I ask for, and I'm like, "Ugh, I don't know if I want to pray next time." The biggest eye-opener has been praying for compassion. He's given it to me. And it hurts. It hurts bad some days when you have real compassion for other people and their hurting and their needs. And some days I'd rather just be dead. But I prayed and asked for it. So be careful what you pray. Amen. And the space God has given us, as near as I can tell in His Word, it's limitless. It is limitless. Every nation in the world is space for us to grow and develop in Christ. All authority and power in heaven is ours to exercise and use through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Right? Yeah. Until the end of the age. Is it the end of my age? Is it the end of the world's age? Whichever one comes first. So until you draw your last breath, you have that space to grow and develop in Christ. And always be on the lookout for the predators of our lives. Sometimes we let them in nonchalantly. About 10 years ago, I used to listen to lots of country music. And God came to me one day and said, "Arby," and this was shortly after he spoke to me through a country song. He said, "I want you to quit listening to country music." So I'd listen to it to work. I'd listen to it from work. I don't listen to music a lot, but when I did, that's what I listened to. So I gathered up my CD collection, shipped it out. God just asks little things of us sometimes. He says, "I want to purify you. I want to make you holy as I am holy." And I'm not asking for everything all at once, but when I do ask, when I do call, just be obedient and say yes. And I'm here to tell you from experience, just say yes. It's much easier, and you're going to begin living life to the full like you never dreamed. Every year I live, my life gets better. If you would have asked me that a few years ago, I couldn't have said that. But I can say that today. Continually, my life gets better. My marriage gets better. I think my parenting gets better. We'll find out in 10 years when my kids are grown, right? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord God. God, that you sent your Son, God, that we may have life everlasting. God, that we may have life to the full. God, that we may have it abundantly. And God, we ask today, God, for your joy. God, for your peace. God, for your patience, for your kindness, God, to well up inside of our lives. God, for your self-control. God, for your goodness and your gentleness. Father, in our lives. God, as we seek you for day to day. God, that you would cause us to see the error of our ways, God. That we would see, God, where we invite the predators into our lives, God, where we allow Satan a foothold in our lives. God, that you would begin to remove those strongholds. God, that we would be loosed and freed from them, God. Father, by your Son, Jesus Christ, Father, we thank you for this. God, we ask your blessing upon our lives and upon our families, Father, as we go today. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to invite our ushers to come. They're going to gather our morning tithe and offering. If you did bring an offering for the missionaries' Christmas offering, please make sure you mark that on your envelope. You should have an envelope inside your folder there. If you're a guest, a visitor with us today, we don't really want your money, so you're welcome to sit on your wallet or your purse. Keep your money in your handbag. Also, your Connect cards.